Packed schedules often make seeking weight loss support difficult, which is why MedExpress keeps things straightforward. Begin with our short online consultation, which takes only a few minutes, to check your eligibility with our UK registered clinicians today. There's no need to rearrange your day. Everything takes place online whenever it suits you. If eligible, treatment is delivered discreetly to your doorstep with ongoing support and guidance from our clinical team to help keep you on track. MedExpress has supported more than 1.5 million UK customers since 2013, providing convenient and clinically backed access to healthcare without the hassle of in-person appointments. For a simple, flexible way to begin your weight loss journey, visit medexpress.co.uk/podcast to learn more and check your eligibility today.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What are you drinking there?
What do you think I'm drinking?
Jack and Gingy, and you're stingy on the Gingy?
You got it, baby.
Ah, look at that.
You know a baby, yeah.
Oh, well, cheers to you.
Oh, you got a little sipper? You got a sipper there?
I got a little tall boy here. I got the juice machine from Treehouse, which is one
of
the...
It looked like a sip of sunshine for a second, the way you had it spun around like that.
It does look a little bit like it. They got the yellow cans. Very nice. Mm-hmm. This one kind of popped on me a little bit. I'm not sure why. I was sitting there flat for quite a bit, but...
Sometimes you get an unexpected pop sometimes. Mm-hmm. That happens. Usually...
That's true.
Yeah, sometimes at night.
Be prepared for anything, I've always said. Do you like, there's sort of a recent trend now when I've been listening to other podcasts that a lot of podcasts start before the podcast actually starts. Do you like that?
You know, it's like a show with it's a cold open, right? Is that what they call it? Are we in the midst of one right now?
This is the heart of a cold open. Yeah.
We are balls deep in cold open right now.
We're experimenting with a cold open.
We are... Yeah. To the hilt and trying to do the dog in a bathtub kind of thing.
Correct. So do us a favor when you're writing letters into the show, let us know if you enjoy the cold open. It's like a peek behind the curtain. Because everything else is scripted. This is
everything else is about. Yeah, it's Coen Brothers level scripted.
Right. Yeah. It's like doing a Quentin Tarantino movie. It's like, listen, we wrote it out this way for a reason. Don't ad lib. Like this.
Exactly.
All right, let's start the show.
The Dork Podcast. Rich Keith. It's the Dork Podcast.
And Davey.
It's the Dork Podcast. Hashtag. It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keith, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Rick Rude Von Dick Dude. He is Razzle Von Dazzle. All hail the king of ginger ale, despite being stingy on the gingy. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm a little tired. If we're being honest, I'm a little tired.
I'm glad you're being honest. This is essentially the trust tree within the nest of podcasts. That's what I feel like we are here. It's a safe.
Maybe they're just probably just white cotton, or maybe there's something I have is something interesting, something I've never even heard about before.
What?
So I played in a golf tournament with my father today.
How'd that go?
Not to jump the gun. Terribly. It went terribly. Oh. That's a story I will tell. I needed to give it some space to. It's like a bottle of wine. It needs to breathe a little bit.
Got it.
Before I tell the story of this golf tournament. But I entered, you know how they do like the raffles? Like you enter the raffle, you buy tickets, you enter the raffle. Oh, of course. Goes to a great cause.
It was like a and raffle.
You want to know what I won? I put it on Twitter.
What'd you win?
I won that
47 brand Celtics hat. And is that a Celtic shirt also?
A 47 brand Celtic shirt.
Tremendous.
So I, out of all the things I could have possibly won.
Yeah.
They actually had, it was actually phenomenal. They had a golf putter.
Ooh.
That was customized to be a device for smoking marijuana.
Hell.
Along with a gift basket from a local dispensary and an actual marijuana plant.
How about that?
I didn't win that. No. But what I did win was 47 brand hat and shirt.
Yeah, pretty good.
Right.
Not too bad. I mean, you are a spokesperson for 47 brand, but you can never have enough 47 brand stuff.
You can't. You
really can't. So one
especially
time-
when. Well, yeah. You can use a promo code and
hashtag dork at checkout. Mm-hmm. So friend of the program, Shark, his mom, when we were young, she was at some store and it was like, I don't know if it was like all fine china and like glassware and like basically like chandeliers, like a super nice, expensive type place. And she entered a raffle. Her name got called. she was like, holy crap, like, what'd I win? She won a enormous stuffed animal duck. It's a giant fucking duck, which they still have to this day. It's like bigger than you, duck. She's like, what? So like, yeah, what am I gonna do sweet, with this? Huh? Like, I thought I was getting like wine glasses or like some kind of crate. Like, no, you got a giant fucking duck, which I don't know what you would do with. We played with it like on the trampoline. It was like that big of a thing. You could like dive into it. It was awesome. Like,
what do you do with that? I don't understand.
Well, God bless her. She took it home, and we played with it for years. So, all good. All right, let's dive into it. We have a really interesting topic du jour to unpack, if you ask me. But before we get there,
this week in Dorn,
not a ton of new stuff since last week. So let's do a quick TV whip around check in. Obi-Wan Kenobi, we are now 5 of 6 episodes complete. Where are you at now?
We have one episode left.
Correct. Thank God.
that's about where I am. The highs have been so high.
Yeah.
And this episode teased more highs.
Yeah.
But never really got there.
No, it might have been was it the second best episode? Maybe. Yeah, actually, probably.
It definitely was, but it was nowhere near episode 3.
No, episode 6 needs to be like fucking get ready. Like, it needs to be nasty. I am not giving up hope on the show, but it's going to be a hard one to score at the end, because you're right. It's very similar to Book of Boba Fett, where you're like, yeah, but that was really cool. And you're like, yeah, but that sucked. And then you just keep going back and forth between the two.
Well, you have two of the greatest characters in Star Wars lore clashing in this, and yet you choose to focus on side characters, which doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I like a couple of moments, like you said, very much, but... All right, so
there was one moment in this recent episode where I was like, all right, we're doing this. And then they okie-doked us.
They did not do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. That. They so next not, week.
They did not get this.
They did not get it. Yeah. We will do a full breakdown of Obi-Wan Kenobi next week. A show that I am just really smitten with. Ms. Marvel. I enjoy it very much.
It's a fun little show.
It is.
You know, I watch it with the kids. It's great. They love it. They're totally bought into it. It's good.
I like a high school setting.
You do.
For a lot of TV shows, movies, I like a high school setting. And Ms. Marvel kind of fits the bill.
What's interesting is that my children are 7 and 5. They've never grown up with episodic television.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
And so my younger one, who's 5, is pissed when we tell her that, like, there isn't another. Hey, you have to wait.
Yeah.
She's like, why? Like, because that's how shows like this come out. They come out like once a week, and it's like a new thing every week. And she's like, that's dumb.
You're like, maybe. So what you like is the Netflix model. You are enjoying the Netflix model. You don't care for this much. She's like, yeah, nope. Right. Yeah, give me the Netflix. Yeah,
that's all I want. That's all I've ever known.
Well, it's funny. On the old other end of the spectrum, I've had this conversation with my dad like 100 times where I think he was used to originally – like watching Netflix and binge watching shows, old or new shows, right? Maybe so he hadn't seen watching all of it, even the new ones. Maybe he was behind and he'd watch all of it. So I'd be like, hey, you know, like it's like a year ago, like, hey, you caught up on Ozark? He's like, yeah, but there's like no more episodes. Like, where are the rest of the episodes? I'm like, well, they have to make the episode. They got to make the rest of the episodes.
They don't make the whole series at once. They make seasons.
But I think it was because some full series were on there, like, but like
he was so far behind he could watch an entire show.
Yes,
yeah,
I think that's what threw him off. And that, well, because like he ripped through Game of Thrones, right? Like he ripped through all of it, and like they were all there, so he watched them all. And I remember like talking to him about like Mandalorian. He's like, yeah, but that's not coming back. I'm like, well, not coming back immediately, but it's coming back.
Right? I run out. Or like Breaking Bad. Like, I'm sure you watch Breaking Bad or The Sopranos. You can just like rip through all those great shows, and they're just like, well, I think what do you mean?
Like, god damn it, like whatever. I'll let you know when they're done. If you don't want to, you don't watch it like that. Speaking of shows that are weekly, despite doing what 3 on the initial launch, season 3 of The Boys, which has been a treat.
It's making me sad though.
Oh,
making me sad a little bit. You know, we talk about it every now and again. We talk about these are things we use to get away from whatever is on our mind.
I got you.
And I feel like this season has been very on the nose.
Yeah.
And so far as to mention real people.
Right. Yeah, that is a little different. So like The Boys comic book, which is an incredible run. I would recommend that to everybody. Garth Ennis. And they had a couple of characters that were inspired by characters, but it was also written so many years ago.
Right.
Like, I think it's like old enough where like one of the characters is like a loose, really over the top version of like George W. Bush. Like right. It's like that far back. So it didn't know about Obama or Trump or Biden. It didn't know anybody, any of that right. stuff. Well, at least them being president, I'm sure they were aware of those people,
but they're naming like celebrities and yeah. senators by name.
Yep.
And that's like, to me, I mean, that's a little, I didn't need an agenda. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think one way or the other. Like, it's not that I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just like, you can do this without doing that.
I do think that once again, Homelander, Anthony Starr, is proving that he's one of the best characters that we've seen on television in the last
five years. He's terrifying.
He is absolutely terrifying.
But also, in a completely different vein, like Giancarlo Esposito is equally as...
Also terrifying.
Because he might, like you said, he might be the best bad guy of our generation.
He's up there. Yeah.
Because he sees all the angles before Homelander does.
So good.
You know, it's great.
I have some issues because, again, they sort of pick and choose how much of the comic they follow and like certain things. So I have a couple of like things I like more in the comic, but whatever, like that's going to happen with most comic book readers. Mm-hmm. But this week, so coming out on Friday, episode 5 is entitled Herogasm. And so in the comic, I don't know how far you got in the comic, but they would once a year on like an island get all the superheroes there for a giant orgy. And they would bring all kinds of like hookers and stuff and then other superheroes. And it was just like literally every single superhero would go there and they would make up some story to the media like, oh, they're on another like galaxy right now. They're like they're safe. They're making sure Earth is safe. But they were all just fucking each other on this other like island. And that's the episode this week.
We've gone there. We've gone there with this show. So I'm excited to see what that looks like.
My prediction. Now, I think it's going to be tough to top what happened episode 1, 10 minutes in. But
do you think this is like a flashback episode?
No, I think they're going to Herogasm now. And maybe they'll reference past Herogasms. But my guess is this will be like Starlight's first one. So we'll see it through the eyes of Starlight. Yeah. And then the boys will know that they're going there and they're going to be like spying on them. And then you're going to see it through their eyes. But then like, you know, it'll be interesting to see if the Deep goes. Because now that he has like that. His wife.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But Homelander will certainly be there and it'll be something. So I'm looking forward to that.
It'll be something.
Sad news out of the comic book world. Tim Sale passed away this week. One of my favorite artists. He, of course, did The Long Halloween with Jeff Loeb. He also did the whole Marvel Colors series.
Yes.
So Daredevil Yellow, which was my favorite, but then Spider-Man Blue, Hulk Gray, and Captain America White, which was also written by Jeff Loeb. And then the Dark Victory, Haunted Night, that was all him. Mm-hmm. And not that old of a guy. So just another sad story there. Big loss
for the comic book world. And like you said, responsible for some of the best art in comic books I've seen. Long Halloween, again, stands out as one of the better.
My absolute favorite.
Yeah.
So
sad stuff, man.
I said we would do this, and look at us following through with something that we did. I call it the email of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have
no sounder for this. No song for that yet, right?
No sounder yet, so it's a placeholder. dorkpodcast@gmail.com. You can email us 24/7, 365. Really, whatever you feel like it, you can email us. This one comes in from John. He said, "Hey, Keith and Davey, was just listening again to the Doctor Strange 2 episode of Hashtag Dork and was thinking about how the MCU properties seem to have lost their way. I think that Marvel and Kevin Feige meticulously planned and executed the Infinity Saga over 10 plus years, beautifully unfolding the story and closely guarding every detail. At the finish, they absolutely orgasmed with Avengers Endgame and the finale to the Captain America and Iron Man storylines. Marvel had accomplished an impossible feat. Now that it's done, they've opened up the sandbox for everyone to play in. Thoughts? Keep up the good work, John."
Okay, so when they announced, I've been doing a lot of thinking about this as well, and I did kind of hint at the fact that I believe that the bubble might be popping with these things.
Hmm.
I do believe that we are building towards Secret Wars, which, because they have like Secret Invasion and then they have Secret Wars and like all that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, yeah.
So that storyline is so weird that you have to get a little weird in order to get there. But remember when they announced Infinity War, they were doing the Infinity Saga.
Yeah.
And you and I kind of went back and forth about how, what that story entailed and how the hell they're going to do that. And there's certain parts of it that they cut out. So there was, remember the whole thing with like Thanos was doing that to impress Death.
Yep.
He was like in love with Death.
Right. Yeah. They cut all that out.
They cut all that out. So they made it. My hope is that on this Kevin Feige vision board, there's okay. They could be able to connect the dots.
Mm.
It's not as Pepe Sylvia as you one might believe. Right. That there is okay. We have to get here, right? But right now it just seems messy to me. So I do agree with John a little bit in that the vision for this is like, all right, we're gonna do Secret Wars, but we don't really know how we're gonna get there. So we're just gonna have to like hope this works.
Yeah, and now it's just so much more difficult too, because before you were just sort of starting characters and then they would sort of meet and then you'd start a few more and then they would meet and you'd go from there. And now it's like, all right, how many of the old characters are we going to continue to push through? The new characters have to have lived in a world where those characters existed. So yeah. Either why or why not were they involved? Are they all just origin stories? It is tough. And there's so many characters and it's TV shows. I just think it's a classic case of victim of their own success.
Yes.
And now I think the batting average is just going to be lower, but there's still going to be home runs.
And one of the things that I really loved about the Infinity Saga was that, like you said, there was one setting and one set of rules. So watching these, how they were going to get these characters on screen together was yeah. part of the fun. Mm-hmm. And now with Doctor Strange and Love and Thunder and, you know, even Miss Marvel to an extent, like that doesn't matter anymore. Like, because anyone can show up anywhere.
I think
any time.
Right. In a weird way. Like
and Spider-Man too. So like anyone can just show up anytime, anywhere.
And again, in the whole thing, now that you have like multiverse and you're going to have like more scrolls and you have all the stuff, like just the stakes are lower.
It's super messy too.
Sloppy stakes are a bit.
A lot of sloppy stakes here. They slopped it up.
Yeah, but again, I still hold out hope where there is going to be occasionally something that's just so awesome. But I think, unfortunately, you're probably going to have to fight through a couple of crappy TV shows, maybe a movie that kind of misses. But ultimately, like, I'm still in. But I completely understand where that email's
We're
coming.
We're never going to not be in. We are all the way in.
We are all
too far in. We're too far in. Hey, Ryan, I got something else. All right, well, that's the sound for Should I Have Bought This? And it's brought to you by 47 Brand. Enter the promo code hashtag dork at checkout for 25% off your entire order.
I'm embarrassed.
25% off.
No, I'm not even wearing a 47 Brand hat today.
Oh, put the goddamn thing on.
Look at that. I just got a new one. I can look, easy fix.
Just in time, too, for the Celtics season.
right? So I got this. I got it. And then someone was like, oh, that would have been cooler if they won. I was like, yeah
thanks. True. Thanks, guy.
Yeah, I was there. He's like, did you watch the series? I'm like, yeah.
No, who played?
Yeah, who'd they vie against?
What happened? Yeah. It didn't go so hot. Mm-hmm. Anyway, 25% off your entire order. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but I think it's free shipping on 75?
Yeah, 75 and above.
I mean, come on, folks.
I mean, the more you spend with a promo code, the more you spend, the more you save.
I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but I did. Yeah. You get some hats, get some shirts, get some hoodies, get some kid wear, whatever you need to do for yourself. Mm-hmm. All you have to do out there is email us dorkpodcast@gmail.com. You can also tweet us or Instagram, but it's easier for me to go back through the emails. Something that you bought, $25 or more, why you bought it, and a photo of the item. And then Davey and I will, in fact, answer the question, should I have bought this? This one comes in from Greg.
What?
So I actually know Greg. Greg, I met over at NBC Sports Boston when he was working there. And he was, fittingly, with this product here, was one of the first people to tell me about, I think you should leave. He's like, you should watch the show. He's like, I think you'd love the show. And he couldn't have been more right. So Greg emails in. Oh, by the way, Davey, what would you say? Describe the photo for the podcast listener and not the YouTube viewer.
So it looks like your stock, you know, pre-shrunk cotton t-shirt of good size. It's black with a little attachment in the midsection that looks like some sort of button. It's a TC Tugger. So he has made his own or bought his own TC Tugger shirt.
He did not make it. He certainly bought it, right? Yeah. So it's, should I have bought this? A couple of years ago, Greg writes, shortly after season one of I Think You Should Leave, I wanted a TC Tugger. Finally found one online. I think it came up on Etsy for about blank dollars. Looked great in the pictures, but this is what showed up at my house. This was not how the pictures look.
I'm glad this is not what the pictures look like, because basically what it is, it's like a Fruit of the Loom t-shirt that you would get at like Walmart or like Savers.
It's
you just can see the label on it.
Generic ass t-shirt, cotton shirt.
And it looks like a drawer from a, like a button from a drawer on like a dresser that's been bolted to the shirt.
Yep. So do you want to guess how much this costs?
Well, since he's playing the game, I know it's over $25, right?
Yeah. Well, Yeah.
So I'm going to say like $28.99.
Right. He said it was $25 or $30. So it just clears the minimum. We'll say $30 because I'm sure you had to ship the fucking thing to him.
We'll call it $30 for
$30 for a t-shirt with a doorknob. Or no, that's what
a drawer knob. $30 for that, dude. This is why you don't buy anything from Etsy. This is why you don't buy anything like that's unverified. No, fuck that. Like, I could make this for, if you were gonna give me $30, you could have Venmoed me $30 Spite Bucks, and I would have made this for you.
Get the fuck out of here.
Listen, Greg, we love where the head's at. You want
love it.
That's,
yeah.
That's why I would recommend Billy D's site. It's a chunky, or that's a chunky over on TeePublic. They don't have a TC Tugger, but they have plenty of I Think You Should Leave inspired merch.
I have a corncob TV shirt, which is great.
I as well.
But the one thing I do want to stress when looking at this shirt is it's not a joke. It's not like a Snuggie.
No, but do they come in other styles?
Not really.
Not really.
You take a huge sip of water. Not really.
What are the? Well, that's great. Great stuff. So thank you, Greg, for sending that in. Again, you guys can sit on your like so,
just to clarify, it looks like someone had fucking worn the shirt, too. It didn't look like a new shirt.
No, it's not a new shirt. Yeah, but at least he's out $30, and it's a pretty good story. Whereas
it's a good
other
story.
Guys still, it's as far as getting taken for a ride, nobody's gotten taken for more of a ride than the kid with the wand.
The wand was my favorite, but that's pretty close.
It's up there. It's up there. All right, let's get to this.
It's time for Davey's video game minute, even if it takes more than a minute.
Jordan says it comes pre-tugged.
So do I.
Yeah, I figured. Oh, that's pretty good.
Well, but I don't have like same thing. Like, I don't know.
The calico cut pants. That doesn't have no calico cut pants.
No, he doesn't piss his pants. They come that way.
It's got nothing to do with piss. This ain't about piss. Okay.
So again, like TV, you know, there's a lot of stuff. You know, happening, but not really. You know, so I'm playing two games simultaneously right now. Both are wonderful. One of them is the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game, Shredder's. Oh. It's fun, man. Like if you haven't played it yet, $25 on Switch. Like speaking of, should I have bought this? Absolutely for $25. What?
All right. I said out the door. $25.
Out the door.
Yeah, like,
that's pretty good. Yeah. And the other one. So I started playing The Quarry, which is one of those like choose your own adventure like horror games.
Okay.
Takes place at a summer camp. Last day at a summer camp, and there's it is frightening. There's circus freaks and women with tarot cards. Oh yeah, it's something.
Tarot cards.
Yeah.
Oh, like the lady we ran into at New England Comic Con.
Correct. So she's there and they're all real actors. So you have some real actors in this, which is fun.
Now, what are you playing this on? PC?
PlayStation 5.
Oh.
So this is a full price game. It's a full price game, but you can play it on PlayStation 4 as well. I think we're, but it's good. I like the story so far. I'm about an hour in. And it's one of those, like, if you make certain decisions, like, that affects the outcome of the game. So there's replayability there too.
Cool.
So it's kind of like, yeah. So if you like that kind of game, so Until Dawn is the other one. And then there's another game that the same company did. I forget the name of it right now. But all good.
Yeah.
And then some sad news, Richard, in the video game world.
I don't.
So we had high hopes playing Tony Hawk Remake 1 and 2, right? And then it made sense that Activision Blizzard bought Vicarious Visions, who did the remake, because Activision, of course, made the original Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2. A source is now saying that those are now gone. 3 and 4 is shelved. It's not going to get made. And it's a reliable source. And so basically what the story is Activision acquired Vicarious Visions because they needed more developers for their own games. So their own games that are coming out, and then just scrapped Tony Hawk 3 and 4. This information is coming from Tony Hawk himself.
Oh, no, no, no.
So that's a pretty good, that's from the horse's mouth. Like these aren't, he would know. And so basically these have been put on the very back burner while Activision Blizzard tries to get its shit together. Having been acquired. What's that?
This is the opportunity for Lance Mountain Pro Skater. He needs to come out with his own game, same graphics, same
Johnny joke. Yeah, have him do it. Christian Hosoi, Christ Air Pro Skater.
I'd play the Christian Hosoi game.
Chad Muska Street. I would play that.
Yep, I would.
Yeah,
that's a shame. It's too bad. Oh, by the way, you see college football? They're now saying 23, like summer of 23 for the new college football.
I can't. I'm so excited for that.
I can. Like, one year. Yeah, what? Matt and I am. Madden could suck a fart, but we could get a good college and we could get a good league going too.
Oh, I don't know if you want any part of it though. Have you ever played Mac in Madden?
I'm not inviting Mac to Madden.
No,
Mac and Madden.
No,
no. I'm telling my college buddies we can play.
Like people who are like just Joe Six Packs, not these like professional Madden players.
No, right? Joey Bag of Donuts from college.
Yeah,
you know
Joe these Bags. Guys. I know Joe Bags.
These are good guys.
So that's it for the Davies Video Game Minute. That's what I'm playing. That's what I'm doing. So if you haven't checked out those games yet, do it. You know, the fuck else you doing? Summertime.
Seriously, live a little.
Yeah. Y'all ready for bisque?
Right, the topic du jour.
Huh?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the topic of the day. Today it is Barry Season 3, the HBO series, which ran for 8 episodes, starring Bill Hader, co-created, directed, written, the whole thing. By Bill Hader. We will begin as we do spoiler free on our TV and movie reviews. Ryan, did you like it?
What's that?
Did you like it?
Oh, I did.
Yeah,
I did a lot.
All right. Follow up. Based on that response, it's June. So we're about halfway through the great year of 2022. Mm-hmm. Is this the best show on television?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Because what are the front runners so far? So we have this.
Severance.
Okay. Yeah.
I would say Severance with a bullet is up there. I would say we got to see how Better Call Saul ends.
Oh, yeah. So that's been really good.
The Boys. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Taking it back.
I really liked. I like Stranger Things, so how it ends, I think, could at least
that's going to be the yeah.
That'll be in the mix. I'm really enjoying Stranger Things, but I think it's Barry, Better Call Saul, Severance. If you're like the real big swingers right now,
people are really into
what do you got?
The Offer, the one about the making of the Godfather.
All right, I'll check that out.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of other shows that are coming out right now. I mean, people, enough with Yellowstone. Stop recommending Yellowstone to me. Like,
I'm out on that.
Moon Knight was fine.
No. Oh, I would give. Here's three other ones. We Own This City on HBO is very good, but that's a miniseries, 6 episodes. Season 3 or 4 of Atlanta. No, 3. of Atlanta. Pretty good. We liked, you and I both like Peacemaker a lot.
We did. I did like Peacemaker a lot. Yeah. I also like Shorzy too. So that's Shorzy. That's not for everybody.
Okay. Yeah.
So I liked it, but I get if you were like, I don't, that show's fucking stupid. I'd be like, I get it. You know? But.
Yep. And then the last season of Ozark was this year also. I don't think it's the best ever, but I think it's interesting. People would probably toss that one out there. Mm-hmm. I think you can make a case right now. And again, because we have three shows that are pending and then we have whatever shows come out the rest of the year. I think Barry is the best show that I've seen that has had a full season so far in 2022.
It's certainly. I like Hacks too. I know I might be alone in that one, but I do like Hacks. But
no problem with that.
As far as just, and this is going to sound so, but character development, writing, directing, the humor in it, like the dark. No one does dark humor better than Bill Hader right now. Nobody.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, he's got to be at the top. The thing too with this is, and like you said, it's going to sound like whatever. Like this is the film school, the film snob, the geek or whatever, which kind of there's a little cross section with dork, right? Like I don't need everything to be like the best shot thing and the best written thing. I can enjoy, trust me. You know the stuff that I like. I can enjoy other things, but I also have a huge respect for this, how they set stuff up. Like there's a reason why the camera angle is everywhere that it is. There's a reason why the characters are either close, far away, in one room, in another room, the lighting, like everything matters. And that's why I think Better Call Saul, this, and Severance are on a different level. As much as I fucking love Peacemaker and I love, Ms. Marvel, like these shows are on a different level and they are so well done. And then for this show, for the premise that it has to also be as funny as it is just like insane.
And it's because it's so absurd, like one way or the other. So it's, you're dealing with incredibly funny people and characters dealing with like the characters are ridiculous. They're ridiculous people.
Oh yeah.
Dealing with really heavy themes and actions and scenes that I almost had to look away because they were so uncomfortable. I'm not talking about like uncomfortable like cringe humor, but like there was uncomfortable things happening.
Oh yeah.
Especially like the last episode. And then they just something funny happens. It's bizarre. Yeah. It's something that I think everybody needs to watch.
Yeah, I do too.
And the premise of this show and where the show is now, I feel like it's only been on 3 seasons, but I feel like it's been on for like 8.
It's unbelievable. And yeah, there are only 8 episodes each season. So if you haven't seen any of the show and you have HBO Max, it's 24 episodes. I would recommend starting it right now.
I ripped through the first 4 episodes of this show.
Oh yeah, no problem. Mm-hmm. What genre do you think this show is?
It's dark humor, like dark humor.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to describe it.
Yeah, like heavy. I would call it heavy humor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's heavy. Again, this they added a couple of new characters to this season, but you got a lot of carryover from storylines and characters from previous seasons. Again, like Bill Hader. He's so good. And like while I'm watching him, like, man, like that class from SNL. He was in the same class as Sudeikis, who put on a fucking tour de force, and everybody loves Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah.
Andy Samberg. Andy Samberg's been in like a bunch of movies, and then Brooklyn Nine-Nine had 1,000 episodes. Mm-hmm. And then Kristen Wiig, who like she's in a bunch of movies, and she had like a ton of success. They all showed up at the same time.
Superstars. Mulaney.
Yeah, and then Mulaney was writing for him. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it's outrageous. But that's the other thing is, it's so funny. It's also so incredibly well acted. And to your point a second ago, that's how they're able to really get away with hilarious, super serious, back to hilarious. It's because all the characters on the show are able to pull it off.
Like, how good is Henry Winkler as
awesome
Gene Cousineau? Like,
awesome.
Yeah,
he's really good. I think everybody's favorite character is probably NoHo Hank.
He's like the straight, he's the kind of the levity. And again, what I love about this is it's kind of poking fun at Hollywood and how these people are allowed to, my sense of anyone I've known who is a serious actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Is a little fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like we make fun of, I know we poke fun at like Jared Leto all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doing ridiculous stuff. He could be a character on this show.
100%. Yep. And it's funny how this,
like, he could like be playing a serial killer while also trying to be a serial killer because he's method. Like that could be a character in the show.
Well, that's why this show is great too. Like, and actually similar to like SNL, how you sort of saw them earlier in their careers and how they go on. Like Sally, played by Sarah Goldberg, mm-hmm. is such a good character. I think this is her best season by far. But mm-hmm. we meet her and she's just in acting classes with Henry Winkler, and she's just like an aspiring actor and doing whatever she can. And then in this season, she like got her own show and she was like actually like somebody that was like being cast in stuff. So you sort of see how over the year, a couple of years, like her whole life has changed. But she, right. I thought she was particularly good in this. Like, really liked her character a lot.
And how like up and down, like she's been, like she was, like you said, she was nobody, then was kind of on the up and up.
Right.
Something happens in season three, and then she's yeah. all the way back down again. You know, so it's
pretty crazy.
Crazy. Yeah.
What would you say? Let's see. I'm trying to remember all the episodes, but I think this probably was the best season to me of the show. Now, there's no bad season.
No.
I think it might, off the top of my head, I think it gets a little bit better. I would probably rank them 3-2-1.
I think so too. And that's the other impressive thing too. And we've seen things like this, like shows like Breaking Bad or The Sopranos, or you would say The Wire. Well, The Wire mm-hmm. is kind of up and down, but this straight up trajectory for the show so far. So I would lean to agree with you on that. There were certain aspects of other seasons that I like better.
Yeah, it's a good point.
For instance, like the relationship between Fuchs and Barry.
Yeah.
There wasn't much of that for obvious reasons, but there wasn't any back and forth between the two of them.
No. That's another, you bring up a good point. How many shows, good shows, have their best season being season one? And that list has got to be small. Off the top of my head, I would say Stranger Things.
Stranger Things, yeah.
But like, yeah, because like The Wire is Breaking Bad.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of shows like The Simpsons, which was garbage.
The trash. Yeah, yeah, season one trash. Yeah. Even like South Park was like kind of funny, but like not like it is. Yeah,
Jackass.
Well, like It's Always Sunny. Like they didn't even have fucking Danny DeVito.
No.
Pretty crazy. Anything else? Oh, actually, what is your dork score?
5.5.
I'm going 6.
Yeah, I was reluctant to say 6. Fuck it, it's a 6.
Wow, talked you right into a 6, no problem.
No, because you know what? There's nothing, again, I can't call it the best show on TV and not give it a 6.
Yeah, that's what I did, and I think it's actually been a pretty strong year with shows, and I was thinking it was teetering, and then I thought the finale was fucking awesome.
It was so good, and I am excited, like your father, I'm like, well, now shit, I gotta wait.
No, you're like, where are the other episodes? This is done.
Where's the rest of it?
There's more coming. Yeah. All right. Anything else non-spoiler? We already said you got to watch it.
Please watch the show. Yeah.
It's up, it's down, it's all around, and it's a 6. Dual 6. I think it's the only other thing we gave dual 6s to all year was The Batman.
Right. And I think
both on HBO.
And what did we give Severance? Did I give Severance a 5 and you gave it like a 5.5 or something?
Well, actually, you know what? I did the episode with Billy at first because you hadn't finished it.
Right.
So I gave it a 5.5. I don't know if you officially gave it a score.
I would give it a 5. I think this is better than Severance.
Yeah, that's fine. I agree with that. Yeah. There we go.
Spoilers! 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 Here come the spoilers!
All right, here's my first question for you. And I probably could have made this spoiler free, but I feel like this way you can answer it any way you want. Is Barry a good guy?
No.
No chance.
Nope. No chance. And I think this is the complexity and the beauty of this character. He thinks he is. Like at times. And there are other times where he hates himself so much and realizes that. I think the best part of this season is him coming to that realization, like he's a bad person.
Yes. Yeah, he's a shit guy. Like he's
yeah,
he's for sure not a good guy, But I think as a viewer, you're like, all right, it's Bill Hader, and he's playing a character that is a war hero. And now he may have just been influenced by the wrong guy in Fuchs and was really, really good at what he does. Like, he is the best fucking hitman in the world.
He's a fucking sociopath. Like, he disassociates like with all of this stuff. And that's kind of one of those like really heavy things that they talk about in the show. But his ability to like disassociate like what he's doing, his own actions
completely
with
But then he's able he's like, he's clearly trying in quotes, he's trying to move away from that life. So he's like, I'm going to be an actor. And it's like, you're the worst actor in the world.
He was the worst actor ever. Yeah.
It was so bad. But then a couple of scenes early on in the show where he like loses his mind and he can't disassociate. He freaks out and they all think it's like this great performance. You're like, no. There's a lot of rage inside this guy.
Right. And again, like that is to me.
Yeah.
Like satirizing the world of acting. Like, because all of these, the question is not like, is Barry a good guy? Is anybody in this show a good person?
No, I don't think so.
If they are, they're dead.
I was going to say, actually everybody Barry's killed. Well, not everybody. But yeah, I don't know. Like, so Gene Cousineau clearly isn't. He's on like a redemption tour. He was a biggest shithead. They make so many hilarious jokes about how everywhere he goes, he burned every bridge, whether it was Joe Mantegna or whoever else.
And just being a piece of shit. Like, he's a piece of shit. Like, his own son. Like, he's trying to, like, his own son and his grandson. Like, he's trying to, he's trying to, like, reconnect with them. And
piece of shit.
Piece of shit.
Sally was an absolute narcissist early on. I think she's this season, really, because of like the interplay between her and Barry, she became much more sympathetic. But early on, she wasn't. And she was mean to everybody in class and everything else.
And she was doing so. She was like, okay, she's kind of a good person. And then she lost the show and lost her mind like on her assistant.
Yeah.
And started calling her the C word, like screaming in her face. And like that was the whole thing. And like her whole apology, like she was supposed to apologize and then she didn't.
I thought that was the heaviest stuff, though, to me in the whole show was the Bill Hader like
yelling at her,
screaming at her in front of other people, and then their reaction, and then Sally being like, "Oh, that's like nothing." Because you're like, "Oh, like," because that happens in real life all the time, and it's just like that's a scary sight. And then from that point on, it's like an episode later, Sally's screaming in somebody's face. And they even showed this thing. Somebody on Twitter, I didn't come up with this. At the end of season two, Bill Hader is like walking into like just darkness, like in one scene. And then there's a scene in this season where Sally is backing into darkness. So literally it's Bill Hader like pushing her into the darkness.
And now that I'm thinking of it too. So like, if you look at the shot of Bill Hader, looks facing him yelling at her and the shot of her yelling at her assistant, they're mirrored.
Yeah.
Like it's like the opposite. So like Bill Hader is facing, if you're looking at the screen, he's facing left and Sally's facing right. So they're like,
and then they
could put them back to back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's the shit, man. Have you seen Don't Burn After Reading?
Yeah.
When Brad Pitt's like, that's the shit. That's the shit, man. Yeah. Like that's it. Like that's the stuff that we were talking about that we don't like to dive into the artistic merits of shows really, but
it's there in this one.
It's there. It's right there for you to see.
It's crazy. And then like the scenes, there's so many scenes this season I thought even stood out more so than the other ones. And like that when Bill Hader's kind of like daydreaming or whatever, and he's like on that beach and it's all
he's dead. Funny. Yeah, that's him. He's dead. So remember, because he says like,
but it's all the people
where I'm going.
It's all the people who's killed. And then so you're sifting through and you're like, oh, I recognize that guy. And then at the end, all of a sudden you've seen Gene and Sally. And then he kind of like snaps out of it because like they're not dead yet. But clearly he's leading them down a path where they're going to get killed.
And there's that one spot that he takes all of those people. Like when and you get the sense that he's literally and figuratively digging his own grave at this point.
Correct. Correct.
So there's that all like the whole thing. And, you know, I get notes of like Gross Point Blank where like John Cusack plays a hitman, but his line every time he's like, it's not me. Like someone, if I'm at your door, so you did something to put me there. It's not me. I'm not the one. I'm just the trigger man.
Right. Good point.
Yeah.
I felt like the whole show was basically kind of ping pong and back and forth. So we knew Gene knew about Barry or in that whole thing. And then there's Barry trying to convince Gene to, like, you know, I'll make your life good. Like, I'll get you acting jobs type of thing. And like, don't turn me in, like all this stuff. So like, the back and forth with Gene and Barry, Sally's show, Joplin, and then losing the show. Great cameo by Vanessa Bayer.
That was one of the most laugh out loud funny scenes I've seen in this show, where Vanessa Bayer and what's her name's Sally's assistant are trying to describe her using sounds.
So good.
Is one of the most ridiculously funny things.
And I'm sure that's based off of like interviews that they've had. I'm sure it's like closer than it should be, where they're like, we need you more like and not like and like the whole thing.
You know, like the we need to, you know, because and they're like, what's the other show? It's like Joplin is like,
right.
And this show is like, huh? Like, and they go and they, but it gets more ridiculous as they go.
Oh yeah, what was the fucking name of that other show?
Oh, Medusa, something like
Medusas. It was a bunch of Medusas, and they would like they would obviously turn people to stone.
Not Draculas, but Medusas.
No, there were a bunch of Medusas.
So it's basically they were pitching like Sex in the City, but with like Medusas.
Correct.
Yeah, and her show is very, and I love Roddy Tees. We didn't bring up Roddy Tees.
They invented Roddy Tees.
How the show's a 98, but somehow the algorithm doesn't compute with this, like how it's trending, and Sally loses her ever-loving mind.
That's so good, where they're like, so we're on like the homepage, and it's not on the homepage, and we go to type in like J-O-P. It doesn't like autofill. We literally have to type in like Joplin television show or whatever. And then they cancel it. And like, the show's been out for 2 days. Like, yeah, it's not doing what we want it to do.
Yeah, right. Because of the algorithm. Like, and algorithm. How much of your life is subject to these arbitrary things that, you know, we're going to leave it to a computer to figure out.
That's got to be so frustrating.
How this is going to, and like the projections and like all the stuff and like how. And again, that's a conversation that I'm sure somebody on that show had with somebody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. They brought that up from somewhere for sure.
Right.
So there's that whole thing with her show, then the relationship with Barry. You have the NoHo Hank with Crystal Ball dynamic and Crystal Ball's wife finding out, that whole thing.
Right. And again, so that was a funny scene too, when the cops raided their little operation. The guy was on the phone.
That was great.
But I was thought it was funny, like Crystal Ball. He killed my buddies. He killed all my buddies.
Yeah. He's just, I mean, every time he's on there, I don't think he had as much to do this season, but every time he's on the screen, he's hilarious. I
love him. Except for that scene where they were like trying to, you know, electroshock Crystal Ball back to his wife and the piano, and like the male dancer piano player there. Just a ridiculous scene. Ridiculous scene.
That was a ridiculous scene.
Yeah.
But then you also have the whole thing with
time out. So the NoHo Hank interrogation scene too, where he claimed he nailed it, was laugh out loud funny. As well. Like, he's just sweating the whole time.
I didn't like any of the stuff that Fuchs was doing really this season, but I did like the whole bit with like, he's the Raven. And then you're like that one cop. He's like, he's the Raven. That's
it's the Raven. Like, what are you talking about? It's the Raven.
It's not the Raven. So then you have the whole thing with Gene, but also his girlfriend who was murdered by Barry last season, which was sort of like the catapult for season three, her dad jumps aboard.
Did you feel like those ages didn't line up? Like, he was way too young to be her dad.
Yeah, she definitely felt a little older. But then again, I mean, could he be 65 and she's 40, 42?
See, I thought she was older. I thought she was closer in age to Winkler.
Oh,
that's like me. Like, I didn't think.
Maybe. I felt like she was definitely younger than him, though.
Yeah.
But so that guy, what was his name in the show? His last name was Moss. Was it Jim Moss? That guy was in The Wire. He played Bunny Colvin, who was a cop in The Wire. He was great in season three of The Wire. But yeah, Jim Moss is his name. And Jim, so Gene working with him. And I wasn't sure. Like, I was like, because it seemed like Gene was enjoying his new life, his new show, and his new everything. And he had a relationship with his son. And there was definitely a few times where he wanted to turn on Barry, but I wasn't sure that he was going to. And that's why, you know, the show's good, because you're like, oh, maybe they're not going to go this route. And then boom, he's in on it with Jim, and they bring down Barry. Pretty crazy finale. Now Barry is going to jail, at least is what it looks like right now.
Yeah. And so that, I mean, that's a fucking, and he was going into that house and you could tell, you didn't know like he was getting set up.
No, but it's like, but I also feel like this whole show, there's a lot of times where Barry is doing what he's doing and it's too nonchalant. Like he's just like, I'm just going to go walk in there and kill that guy and get away with it. You know what I mean? Like there's too much. And I know he plans his shit out, but this was one where he just drove up. He got into an argument with Gene in the driveway and then he just walked into the house and like pulled his gun out and like walked towards the guy.
Yeah. Like, and I think like, that,
you know that he's coming. And that guy's also like a former police officer or his military training or whatever. That guy's a badass himself. Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing with, we even talked like Barry getting poisoned by what's his name's wife.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The guy he was working with, and then the cop who was brought in, who Barry saved his life, and he actually gave. He's, and I think the name of the episode is Starting Now.
Yep,
is the last episode, and he tells like, cut the shit, like starting now, like we're good, starting now.
Yeah, you're right.
The guy warned him, and then he still went anyway.
Yeah,
like that. I mean, that's the, you know, you can't get away from it. You can't stop yourself. You know, so that. Again, I mean, looking like some of the best parts of this. So I'm skipping around. I know because I'm there's fine. So much of this. We could have talked about this episode by episode.
That's a good point. This is one of those podcasts or like, you know, like podcasts do certain shows. Like Barry is a good one for it because there's a lot.
It would be a really good one. I think when Barry is all said and done.
Yeah.
Whenever it ends, I think we could do like a retrospective, like breakdown of like certain episodes and like whatever. But again, it's so, the other thing I was talking about, I had to like look away. One, the first was like when Barry was yelling at
Sally.
Well, that was and intense. Then in the end, when Sally was getting like choked out and Barry was out cold, that was a tough watch because there's no music. It's just her and that guy.
And again, they do the thing where you're like, oh, Barry's going to save her. And then you're like, oh, no, he's not. And she like even like looks over and he's just passed out or knocked out. And you're like, oh shit! Like they held it on her for so long that you're like
in the room where there's no noise. So they went into the sound booth where there's no noise,
that was hard to watch.
It was hard to watch, but that also came on the heels of probably one of the funniest scenes of the show, of the series, with the guys in the van shooting at Barry, who's on a dirt bike, and he misses him. He goes, hand off to like the guy riding the bike.
Oh, good. Oh, that whole chase scene was
and he
absurd.
Misses the exchange and just crashes the bike. It's one of the funniest falls I've seen because I almost wanted to pause it, his face when he's like saying hand off because it's seen out of like Mad Max.
Oh, my God. That was.
And the guy just
that whole scene. That whole scene was bizarre, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The whole chase scene. I mean, like it was just like hilarious, but that was well done. One of the scenes that jumps out to me, and it's all like the whole like film school shit, but it was the finale, the very end, where you have this big thing, this big to do. They finally like they stop Barry, and Jim Moss finds the guy, stops the guy that killed his daughter, and there's the scene where they shoot it from inside the house, but everybody's on the outside of the house, and you see Jim standing there through the window. And like you see like the sirens and stuff, and he's just standing there. And then there's a framed picture of his daughter inside. And it's just one of those things where you're like, all right, now what? You got him. She's not coming back. What do you do? And it's like, you got the sense, like he doesn't even really want to come back in the house. Like he's just, all right, I did this. This was my mission. I was set out to do this. I got him. Now
when I come back in here, the only thing that's going to be there is this picture of still a constant reminder that my daughter's dead.
Correct. But I was like, fuck. Like, that was just such, it was chilling, really, to watch it unfold. And now you're like, as a viewer, you're like, all right, what the fuck? What is season four going to be? So is Hader going to be in prison long, you think? Or is he going to break out? And by the way, the show has already been picked up for a season four. Haven't heard anything about like a fifth, sixth, seventh, but there is a season four.
And so
Bill Hader's going to direct all eight episodes.
And he was saying, so they're like, people were asking him about what's going to happen, like what's the trajectory of the show, like what's going to happen next, and he's like, I can't tell you. And people are like, huh? Oh, is it like, he's like, we haven't written it yet. He's like, we've started like writing it, but we're not done with it yet. So I can't, even if I wanted to, I can't tell you. Like for me, that's that was it, him and Alec Berg are like going through this whole, yeah, like they're writing it together, and it's just, yeah, what a team of writers. Like, Jesus.
What do you want for season four?
I want, I go back and forth because it would be cool to have him in jail, like awaiting trial for a whole season, and having his experience being in jail and people coming to visit him.
Yeah.
Or like whoever his lawyer is, or like Fuchs can come and like talk to him and like while he's in jail, or they could be in jail together.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're all going down. Everyone's going down.
NoHo Hank's going to go down.
Sally killed somebody.
Oh, like, by the way. That so crazy scene too at the end of that, after the whole choking thing in the soundproof room, yeah, and then he's like, Barry did this. He finally says Barry did this. But also, we didn't even mention kind of a twist at the end too, is he knows shit's about to hit the fan. Barry does, so he calls Sally and he's like, get ready, and like, we'll go wherever you want to go, but I got to do something, then I'm going to come to the house. And she's like, yeah, okay. She gets on a plane back to Joplin. So she was going to bail on him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because there was a time where you're like, all right, is he going to be able to get back with her because of what he said? And how creepy was it? He's like, yeah, I'll just like go in there and take some pictures while she's sleeping. Like, you know, nothing.
Just not scare, but just let her know that.
Not like, scare, but no. And she's like, you're going to break into her house? He's like, she won't know I was there. And she's like, Barry, get the fuck out.
And
it's like, hey, I want you to do that.
But one of the things that he has no, and this is like sociopathy, like being a sociopath, like this is one of those things where he's trying to help Gene in the very beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And how he chooses to help him is to lock him in a fucking trunk and then drive him all over the place and like try to like go to different studios and try to get him work while he's kidnapping him and like barely feeding him.
Yeah, I think it's only because, like, I don't think Barry actually loves Sally or Gene. I just think that they were, like, the only ones that actually kind of listened to him. Like, there's a weird relationship with both.
Right, and the only way he knows how to help is to do violent, dangerous things. Like, just break. I'll just go into her house and just, like you said, just take a picture of her sleeping. Like, leave him there. Yeah. Just so she knows, but like not hurt her. I'm not going to hurt her, but I'll just scare her a little bit, you know?
That was one of the first times in the whole series that Barry kind of insinuated something to Sally where he's like, the guy might be a fucking killer. Because he's done a pretty good job of keeping it separate.
Right. And then you blur, like everything blurs together.
Because like she didn't know. And then I was always like, all right, anytime there's a show like this, any show or movie where somebody has sort of a secret identity, as soon as they're with somebody, you're like, all right, how long until you tell that person and what's their reaction going
to
be?
That's like, and how the other show we go to is like Breaking Bad. Like, how long is he going to be able to keep this up? And then, to the point where like, he's like, I'm not even trying anymore. Yeah. Where Walter White's like, I'm not even trying to fucking hide it anymore. I'm just smarter than all of you.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
How many more seasons do you think they can do?
Two.
Yeah. Five feels right.
I feel like you get through whatever the next one is, and then the fifth season is the last season.
So if it's only 8 episodes next season, I think they should do 2 in jail/prison, whatever. And then either he gets out somehow, either breaks out, or there's like some way. Like, you're certainly not going to do 8 episodes with him in jail.
No.
But I don't want him to be.
You could.
Yeah, right. But I don't want him out of there in 10 minutes either. Like, I feel like there's something to do there with him inside. We'll see.
Does the detective who said starting now, does he go to bat for him? Does he say he was, you know?
Oh.
Is there a way for him to get him out? Is there a way for him to then give up the Raven?
I do think what you get, because there's unfinished business obviously there with Fuchs. I do think what you're gonna get, and when you said people visiting him, I can just see NoHo Hank visiting him in some sort of disguise.
Or a hat, a baseball hat and sunglasses, like people don't know it's him.
100%. Like, everybody knows it's him, and he comes in and he's just like, Barry, listen.
Well, what they've set up too is the, not the, the Barry's war buddy, but the other two cops are convinced that there's this Raven.
Yeah, right.
And so Barry's out could be like, I could give you the Raven today. I know his real name.
Yeah.
I know where he is.
And then do you think he ends up, do you think Janice was her name? Do you think Janice's dad shows up again? Do you think Barry kills him, or do you think he's just like out of the show?
He'll be back. I think he'll be back. That character is a good character. And the scene with him with Cousineau in the garage.
The interrogation scene was great.
That was pretty good. So that guy's got some chops, man. So you got to bring him back.
Listen, he's in the wire.
If he's on Barry's on trial, or there's like a hearing or something like that, and he's just like in the back.
Yeah, he'll be there.
Because like you said, I mean, he can't let it go now.
No, this is it. This is what he's got going on. All right, we love the show, obviously. The first TV show that to get a 6 of 2022. Check out Barry. Let us know what you guys think on Twitter and Instagram at Dork Podcast about Barry. Famous Barrys. Besides Barry Sanders and Barry Bonds. You got anybody else? Oh, Barry Manilow.
Barry Manilow. That was why I was going to jump to that one. Famous Barrys.
Barry... the fact that you have Bonds and Sanders, like, it's a great athlete. Oh, Barry Larkin.
So Barry White.
Hall of Fame shortstop. Oh, yeah, Barry White.
Barry Allen.
Barry Allen, the Flash.
Barry Gibb.
From the Gibb also.
Let's see. I'm going through famous Barrys right now, the ones that I know.
I'm just going off the top of the dome here.
Barry Sanders.
Oh, Barry McCockiner.
Yep, I remember him. He's a guy who's roommate with Phil McCracken, right?
I thought you went to school with Barry McCockiner.
No, that was Harry Balzania.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Anyway.
I was coaching baseball once, high school baseball. And we would do like a Florida trip as we did when we were younger.
Yeah.
And I had these two hilarious pitchers. They were POs, Division I pitchers.
They were the hilarious Waiter brothers.
Yeah, they were. And so they would be in the dugout and I would like have them keep the book. And I was looking at the book. And anytime we played a team where they never gave us a lineup because it was spring baseball, who gives a shit? They would make up lineups.
Names. Awesome.
With name. It was Harry Balzania, always bad at cleanup.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And it was like Phil McCrevis and, you know, Barry McCockiner.
Barry McCockiner.
So I would ask, as the assistant bench, I was a hitting coach, but also like I was the only one who didn't go out and like coach a base.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
So I would be sitting with the head coach and I'd be like, all right, who we got coming up? And they would read the next three batters.
Every time.
And the head coach would just like look at me and I'd be like, it's a kid's name. What do you want me to do?
I feel like baseball requires more of like the nonsense than any other sport just to keep engaged.
Just to keep you engaged. Like just to keep, it kept the kids watching the game.
Yeah.
You know, Barry McCockiner goes 0-for-4. I mean,
Josh said he went to school with Mike Rochburns and drank a lot of Dick and Cider. Mo Sislak would have fallen for both of those. There's no doubt.
Both of those, yeah.
All right, would you like the kick receive defer, or you may also choose at this time to defend a goal?
I will take the ball this time because I have a very good one. Now, this is, I'm going to recommend a book, but with a caveat. I'm recommending an audiobook.
Okay. I think our listeners can handle that. Yes.
So I recently listened to, in its entirety, Tom Segura's book, I'd Like to Play Alone, Please. I only say audiobook because he reads it. So it's reading the book.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And it's a series of essays and just like encounters he's had with people, and really funny, but also like heartfelt stuff and stuff they're talking about, like him being in comedy and what it was like for him, and stuff that was really great. And Tom Segura is my favorite comic right now. I'm not saying he's the best, but he's my favorite comic right now.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very good.
All of his specials are on Netflix. And he talks about how those got made. So if you were ever interested in,
that's cool.
It's really good. So I would recommend the audiobook. You can get it right now. It's I'd Like to Play Alone, Please is the name of the book.
I like it.
And the story is that's the first sentence his son ever, full sentence his son ever said to him. He went like, oh, what are you doing? He's like, I'd like to play alone, please. And just stared at him until he left.
I'll head out.
Yeah.
As I want to, not right. Yeah. You as a 3-year-old told me to,
but right.
That's something I want to do. My pick of the pot is a comic book. The full collected edition of Batman versus Bigby is out.
Is that out?
Yeah, it's out. It's good. It's not the greatest book of all time, but I think you'll enjoy, especially anybody who's read Fables and the Big Bad Wolf, aka Bigby. He comes into Gotham. And so obviously Bigby and Batman cross paths. It's the guy that wrote Fables wrote this. So it's like five or six issues, but it's all out in one collected edition right now. So
it's on Hoopla.
Get it in on the old Hoopla. Yeah, read that. Batman versus Bigby. It's a good time. All right, next week, Obi-Wan Kenobi, the 6-part saga. We will discuss it all, the good, the bad. Doesn't seem to be much in between, actually. It seems to be all good or bad when it comes to this show. So we will discuss it at length. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at Dork Podcast. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/DorkPodcast. For Monday night, we stream episodes. We occasionally stream some video games as well. So subscribe there. And email us, dorkpodcast@gmail.com, for your should I have bought this or your email of the episode submissions. Give me a question, a comment, a concern, your social security number, whatever you want to send us.
Yeah.
Credit card information, gift cards, money, spite bucks, whatever you want to do, you can do that. I think I plugged everything there.
That's right? Everything there, yeah.
Yep. All right, people like that. Right, you don't give a shit about anything, do you?
What'd you say?
I said, you don't give a shit about anything, do you?
Not really.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bearers a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083. Or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.